Hi everyone, this is Maura Sweeney and welcome back to the latest in the ABCs of Now series. For those of you who've been keeping up with it, you'll remember the last time I had an episode out, I thought, my goodness, I couldn't believe how long it took for me to get to that episode 22. And yet here I am a few weeks later, fortunately with the next episode, episode 23, and I was very surprised by how much information I have from this one single word to deliver. So before I begin, I'm actually going to give you a little summary of what to expect. The first thing I do want you to know is that the letter D in episode 23 of the ABCs of Now, since we're going backwards, the letter D stands for destruction. Now, before you think, oh, Maura, I don't want to listen to this. I don't even like the sound of it. Hang on, because I think you may come out with a different feeling. What we're going to cover in today's podcast is, first and foremost, like we do all the time, the definition of today's words. It might be a little bit elementary or rudimentary, but remember, this series is all about the elementary ABCs, thoughts and concepts that we've all brought along with us, and we're looking at them afresh and anew with a new set of eyes and understanding. So after the definition of the word destruction, we're going to take a perusal through empires throughout time. I'll also share with you three personal experiences I had in the early 2000s. I'm going to share with you a reflection I just got from a gentleman who grew up in Iran. We're going to talk about astronomy as an historical science, as well as a little bit of a covering of astrological eras that are based on astronomy and what the new astrological era portends. We're going to hear lyrics to a song from the late 1960s, words to an Old Testament prophet. I'm going to save in my definition section the opposite or antonym to the word destruction for this particular point. And we're going to close with a quote from a British author and poet. When we're finished with today's podcast, perhaps you might feel less worried about today's word destruction, as well as the current winds of change that are circling and swirling around our globe. And maybe instead, you'll find yourself looking forward with hope, faith, and inspiration for things to come. So are you ready and are you going to get strapped in? Because this is my goal to see how long it's going to take me to get through all this material. First, let's take a look at the word destroy and how it's defined. Number one, it's to reduce an object or something else into useless fragments. It could be a useless form or remains, as by rendering, burning, or dissolving. Here's a stronger one. It's to injure beyond repair or renewal. How about this one? To demolish, ruin, or annihilate. And annihilate is to reduce to utter ruin or non-existence. Now that's extremely powerful as a meaning. To reduce to utter ruin, or think about this, non-existence. You could also look at other definitions that include to put an end to extinguish, to kill or slay, to render ineffective or useless, to nullify, neutralize, or invalidate, and lastly, to defeat completely. So imagine completing or defeating something known as destruction. Very interesting. I went into the etymology of the word destroy, and it comes from Latin de, and that's kind of what gave me a little thought. Like, what do I need to know about the word de as a prefix? And de plus strure, strure. It went through Latin and then into Old French, then into Middle English. But D will always express a reversal or an undoing to something. And strure means to build or pile. So literally, if you want to look at the base of that word destroy, It means this. It means to unbuild. Think about that. To unbuild. Something has been built up, but we're just going to go backwards and unbuild it. Maybe to the point where we won't even have a recollection of it anymore. Okay. Next, I told you that we're going to talk about empires, historic empires. Now, when you think about empires, we could think of them as something that almost takes up our entire consciousness, wherever or whatever empire we grew up in or we were exposed to. We could say we had an individual experience, but the thing about empires is they are also something that construct a collective experience, a consciousness, an understanding, a feel, something that manifests like the sum total of all that is, of everything it is that is. It's like naming our world. Oh, this is our world, and I'm afraid it's going to go away. And sometimes our worlds become so familiar, even if they're uncomfortable and problematic, that we can't imagine anything beyond them. We think this is all there is. And what happens if it's gone? And we get very, very frightened. Well, the very notion of something like an epic, an era, or an empire coming to an end can translate to our minds, our emotions, and more as the end of the world. And think, it often brings fear to our emotions. But I want to go back in time, and I'm hoping that by doing this, I'll shake some things up in your mind, even as this did for me, and the way in which I would even assume or presume that the world that we've been living in has always been. If I were to ask you to name some previous empires, most likely you'd say, well, I could name some. I know there's the Greek Empire, there's the Roman Empire, because they seem to be the most familiar. Maybe some of you might say, well, the Byzantine Empire or the Spanish Empire. That was the one that Columbus was part of that came over and settled in much of America, but especially Latin America. Well, what about things like the Persian empires, the Inca Empire that was pre-Columbian Spain had come in, or I should say pre-Columbian Spain. There was the Aksumite Empire, which was in Ethiopia and Africa. How about this one? The Hunnic Empire, and that was from Attila the Hun, that was all throughout Central Asia, with modern-day Kazakhstan as part of that area. Capitals in both China and modern-day Budapest, Hungary. Do you want to hear a few more? There was the Mongol Empire, and that was the one under Kublai Khan, and that was 1279 to 1368. And it was also founded by Genghis Khan. And that was known during that time as the largest contiguous empire the world has ever seen. Pretty big, right? That was the world back then. But I'll give you some more. There was the Songhai Empire in Africa, the French Empire of the 1800s, if you want to think about the era of Napoleon. This I'm probably going to mispronounce, the Qing Empire, Q-U-Q-I-N-G. It was also during the 1800s. It was based in China. It was all of China, Mongolia, Taiwan, Hong Kong, a small part of Russia, and a number of vassal states like Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Nepal, Burma, Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, and North and South Korea. How about this one, the Second French Colonial Empire of the earlier 1900s? This one I do remember because it predated World War I, and you've probably heard of this, the British Empire. I don't know whether it reached its height around 1920, but it was known as the empire where the sun never sets. They were a huge naval empire where ships would go around the world, and it was a non-contiguous territory. So literally all around the globe, it was the British Empire. There was the Japanese Empire from 1868 to 1947. And you could think about Emperor Hirohito. And that at the time was all of Japan, North and South Korea, Myanmar, Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines, Singapore, Taiwan, Hong Kong, part of China, Papua New Guinea, and a Russian island. Think about that. And by the way, it might be Papua New Guinea. I'm sure somebody out there will correct me on it. And those of you who know history will also remember this. The Soviet Union from 1922 through 1991. Just slightly smaller territories than under what they had with the Russian Tsars. It was a massive landmass from Asia to Europe. And it spanned, if I'm not mistaken, something like 11 time zones. And if you haven't had enough fun exploring your idea of the various empires throughout the earth, you might even want to look into the Empire of Tartaria and ask yourself, why is it that I never heard of it? You could go into Wikipedia and learn a little bit something of that. So the reason why I mention this to you is if something is going to get destroyed, and normally we get afraid, well, if we think that's the end of the world, why have we had so many of the empires that I just listed that I was able to find out about, and how many more empires do you suppose there have been? Okay, I told you next that I was going to be sharing with you a couple of experiences I had in the early 2000s. And it all goes into this whole idea of destruction or destroy. But there's a reason behind it because of where we're going in this little study here. So the experiences I had, it was in the early 2000s. The first one that came to mind as I was preparing for this was in Armagh, Northern Ireland. Not to be confused with Ireland proper, which would be the Irish people. I was visiting historic St. Patrick's Cathedral. Those of you who know about St. Patrick's Day know he came from Ireland. Well, I happened to be at the church known as the St. Patrick's Cathedral, and I was somewhere standing near the pulpit. And when I stood there, I had the most unusual experience. It was like I was caught in time. That's the best way to describe it. And I could literally see and feel, listen closely, centuries. And what came to mind as I was doing this was like 800 years of bloodshed, excuse me, and war. Bloodshed and war, even as I stood in that point. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm standing in a very historic place and I could feel and see mankind killing one another, oddly enough, probably over who was God. Okay, my next trip that also took place, or experience, I should say, in the early 2000s, it was probably one of my first trips to Croatia. And I happened to be on an island called Hvar. It's H-V-A-R. It's an island on the Adriatic Sea. Absolutely beautiful. At this point, it's considered part of Croatia. But when I was walking around this very beautiful island, a local person told me there that the island had actually been under 11 occupations over the centuries. So I want you to think about that. When I first could be in a place like Northern Ireland and I could feel under my feet centuries and centuries of bloodshed, figuring that each century or each era had a new era of conquest, let's say. And then here I was in Hvar, walking over stones, and I thought, boy, this is really interesting. People who came before me thousands of years ago and hundreds of years ago, they were actually taken over by 11 different groups. Very, very interesting. The third recollection also took place during the early part of the 2000s was when I was at a university, and I went specifically to listen to retired General Wesley Clark. Now, maybe you've heard of that name. If you haven't, he's a former NATO commander. So, very well-celebrated individual. And he was speaking at this university. And after he got finished speaking, they opened it up for questions. And there was a young woman, an undergrad, I think she was a senior at the time, president of the student group that actually came and sponsored this general's talk. And she queried him for advice on how she and her fellow students could take an active role in contributing to the future strength and growth of our nation, in this case, the United States. And I remember I was sitting more toward the back. We were in an amphitheater. And I was very surprised by the general's response. I could use the word surprise. And perhaps other people in the audience, if they were paying enough attention, might have felt surprised. But I noticed that the young woman who actually asked him this question became thoroughly disheartened by his response. She was very eager, I would say idealistic, and hopeful, she and her whole group, about what they could look forward to tomorrow, how they could help contribute to our nation. And do you know this general said to her in so many words, well, don't bother working on our democracy. No democracy has ever lasted much beyond 200 years. Why don't you just instead apply yourself and yourselves to something where you can make a difference? Translation, you can't make a difference. And I thought, what a surprising thing for a former general, former NATO commander, and highly celebrated individual to say that to young and aspiring adults. I found it disturbing, and I thought to myself, was this former and celebrated NATO commander actually prognosticating the destruction, hear the word, the destruction or the end of his own country? It was very odd to me. Okay, the next thing I told you I was going to share is something I heard only recently. It was a man, a gentleman, who grew up in Iran. And he said that he was a child in school when in June of 1989, the Ayatollah Khomeini died. Now, in Iran, or Persia, let's say, for over 2,000 years, Iran was the Persian Empire. There was a continuity there, and that continuity was very, very strong, let's say, over Persia, when the Ayatollah was over that country. This man said that it was so shocking to him. He said everybody was so confused. It was obviously prior to the internet. Nobody knew what was going on, and people were all running around crying, thinking it was the end of the world. Why? Because the Ayatollah was gone. Well, this same gentleman who is now an adult made, let's say, an observation, and I want you to hear it for whatever it's worth. He said, you know, it was never because, or let me say it this way, empires have fallen for many reasons, but he wanted to focus in on one of them. And he said, one reason why empires fall has never been because people became too powerful or too successful. He said, on the contrary, empires have fallen because the government became too powerful. And I'm going to add something to that because I started taking his thought and looking at it. The empires fell, again, not because the people became too powerful or successful, but because the government became too powerful, oppressing the people by too much control, too much tyranny, too many regulations, restrictions, and taxes, and too much suppression of knowledge, of thought, and of speech. Keep that in mind. Okay, the next thing we're going to talk about in this concept of the letter D, the word destruction, is astronomy. Astronomy. Now, this is something I will absolutely tell you I know very little about, but I will share this with you. Astronomy is the study of stars. It is supposedly the oldest science. Interesting. They said the cavemen used to look up in the stars and they recognized there would be certain patterns they could follow. But I want you to think back to navigation on the seas. In many ways, people who were on the seas would look up to the North Star. And by looking up at the North Star, they could pretty much figure out where they were and where they wanted to go. So another way, too, that I didn't realize this, is that people would also use astronomy for agriculture, the idea of planting. And then something else came to mind when I was thinking about the history of astronomy, since it was the oldest science. Many of you may be familiar with the fact that magi from the east were apparently following a particular star to find the location of the birth of Jesus. I thought that was kind of interesting. Okay, astrology, you know, reveals to us the influence of celestial bodies and what they have on our personal, let's say our personal destinies. Many people will say, oh, if you're born at a certain time when a certain star is in the sky, you may be more prone to have certain tendencies, right? But I want you to look at this more on a larger scale. Astrology will exert, let's say, by the location of the stars, a great influence on our lives, not just as individuals, but as a global community. Hence, think about the world that we're in right now. Why is it that we're going through this time of shift, this time of change, and everybody is feeling it? Okay, well, for what else, whatever I could tell you that I learned in a description about astrology is that the sun moves through 12 signs of the zodiac. And interestingly, the sun will move around these 12 signs of the zodiac approximately every 71.6 years. But they'll also move through each sign, every 2,148 years or something like that. So if you want to say that going around all of that time is every 2,000 years, we're going to have a big change, a big change. We don't know exactly when we move from one era, one epoch, or one new sign that seems to be the most prevalent over our earth. But it's about every 2,000 years or 2,100 years. And the other thing I noticed or learned is that each astrological era doesn't necessarily change in a moment or a day. Now, I could be right about this. I could be right wrong. It's just things that I was able to pick up in doing a little research. It says, actually, when we're moving from one astrological era into another, there's a time of transition. And when I read that, it sort of resonated with me, given the time that we're in right now. Some people actually said that we were moving from the last era, Pisces, into this new era of Aquarius. Some people said it happened in 2012. I don't know if any of you heard that December 12th, the 2012, that was going to be the end of the world and everything was going to change and we were going to be wiped off the earth. And some other people, I believe, were saying it was perhaps in March of 2021 because that was another big date. Regardless, we are moving from one era known as Pisces into the new era called Aquarius. And lo and behold, I was, led to remember and to look up the lyrics of a song I remembered as a child. It was sung by the Fifth Dimension, very popular group. I remember my parents had the big album. It was one of those, it was a big album and they played it on their stereo. And the song was called The Age of Aquarius. I want to read to you the lyrics of this song, and I want you to think about it. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, the age of Aquarius, Aquarius, Aquarius. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding, no more falsehoods or derisions, golden living dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelation, and the mind's true liberation. I'll say that again. The mind's, M-I-N-D, apostrophe S, think your mind where you think. The mind's true liberation, as in a freeing. Aquarius, Aquarius. Well, the song repeats again and then closes with a repeated mantra. And you'll remember this probably from the Broadway show Hair. Let the sun shine in. Let the sun shine in. When I was looking for the, let's say, the major earmarks, if you want to call it that, that people were saying would relate to or define, let's say, the age of Pisces, which is the era or the age that we are supposedly coming out of, there were three things that someone referenced, and I thought, interesting. Number one was money. Number two was power. Number three was control. And someone else elsewhere said, at the end of the age of Pisces, it was also the end of a time of conquest. So if you want to think about all those empires, think about that. The end of the age of conquest. So then I wanted to know, what are going to be some of the earmarks or signs of the age of Aquarius? And this is what I got. It seemed to be, let's say, the consensus of those who know a lot more about this than I pretend to. It's gaining a humanitarian perspective of the world around us. So if Pisces, the previous era, will mark the end of money, power, and control, and also the end of conquest, where man would be killing, plundering, and subjugating his fellow man. This age of Aquarius, where people are gaining more of a humanitarian sense, a perspective of the world, not just me, not just my country, not just my people, but the world around us. There was something else that came out of it too. The age of transparency. And I want you to think about something like this. No more hidden things. Therefore, no more secrets. And therefore, because there were no more secrets, perhaps no more deceptions. Hence, think about the dawning of the age. Let the sun shine in. As in more light, more brightness. We can see better. We can imagine better. There's more clarity. Not only clarity in a small part, but maybe clarity elsewhere. I told you that I was going to share with you something about an Old Testament prophet. This prophet was called Jeremiah. And he apparently was addressed by God when he was just a young boy, perhaps maybe even a young man. But it was just before the fall of Jerusalem in supposedly 587 BC. And interestingly, for me at least, it was the era of the Babylonian Empire. The era of the Babylonian Empire. And at this point, Jeremiah was hearing from God, and it was about something that was going to happen to the fall of Jerusalem. I want to read to you what it says in chapter 1 of Jeremiah. It said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I, Jeremiah, said, "I don't know how to speak. I'm too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, Jeremiah, for I am with you and I'll rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Now, what was very interesting about this, these sound like very serious, very foreboding words coming from God in heaven, an unseen God, to a young man, a child perhaps, to say, I'm going to appoint you as my voice, and you're going to be over nations and kingdoms, and the first things I'm going to have you do is to uproot and to tear down and to destroy and to overthrow. And the thing that struck me about this after all of these foreboding words were two things that came after it, to build and to plant. Do you remember I said when we looked up the etymology of the word destroy, it actually meant to unbuild. So what if this whole idea of destroying is merely unbuilding and nullifying things that came before us that had everything to do with man destroying man or plundering man or conquering man? Okay, you also remember that D, that stands for destruction, in this episode I gave you all the definitions of the word at the beginning, but I told you I was going to save the antonym or the opposite for now. Well, there was one word, it was very interesting to me, the opposite or antonym of destroy is to create. I want to leave that with you. It's to create. Now, we may be at the end of an epoch or an era, but the world is going to be here. The earth will be here. And the question remains, what role will we play in it? Maybe we're as a child. Maybe we think we don't know anything. But maybe we're at a point in our life as a child where the world has yet to tell us things are impossible. Oh, that could never be. Maybe our creativity and our minds can actually see and envision certain things that older people can't envision because they've been very limited by the world in which we've been. But at the same time, maybe there's someone today who's listening who is on the older side, or let's say better, the experienced side, where they have time and experience that they could look back on, where they might have picked up a great deal of wisdom, and they see things for the future that they've learned and things that they would like to put in practice. So how active a role will each of us play in the dawning of a new age, a new era, after the current one maybe falls away from among us and around us and actually nullifies? How will each one of us choose to build anew and afresh, maybe with some better ideals for society and for mankind, not just for ourselves, not just for me and my three friends, not just for my people group or the people that I identify with, but maybe for the whole earth and the whole world? I told you I would finish this with words from a very popular author and poet who's from Great Britain. The name of the gentleman who is the author here is A.A. Milne, M-I-L-N-E. You may remember him as the author of Winnie the Pooh, which I think was popularized around 1926. And I love his quote. Listen closely to it, and maybe you'll want to think again as to whether or not destruction is so bad, if maybe we are in the beginning of a new era that's going to cause you to be a little more free than you were before. Are you ready? And this word, I want to say, by A.A. Milne, was spoken as if by way of remembrance, as if to say, I'm going to tell you this now, and I don't want you to forget it. Ready? You are braver than you believe. You are stronger than you seem. And you are smarter than you think. I could end up concluding this by saying, D may be for destruction, but welcome to the new age of Aquarius, and may you shine with all of the brightness you have, and help the world to shine for a better, more creative, and hopeful day ahead for all of us. Until the next time, this has been Maura with Maura for You. Bye-bye.